Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. It's good to come before our Father and bring our request. We're coming down the home stretch in our study of true love. I'm doing 2 John today. Steve's going to do 3 John and wrap up our study. And it's been a powerful study. The attributes that we're learning about love, God's love, true love. And I hope by this time you're recognizing that this is supernatural love. You and I cannot produce this on our own. We have to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ because of the sacrifice that he has done in order for us, as we learned in 1 John, to be forgiven. Christ paid the penalty of our sins, and that love allows us to be forgiven of everything I've done. And I received the Holy Spirit because of that faith in Jesus Christ, and now he enables me to put on this love, this supernatural love. And each one of us in Christ are capable now of producing this kind of love, special love. And today we're going to look at love that protects, another aspect that's pretty powerful. So, if you'll turn to 2 John, if you have your Bibles, if you need one, you can just head back to the bookcase back there and grab your own. I want to read you something that LaWayne and I received a few weeks ago. A little postcard. Love getting postcards. I don't like to read, so it's a real short read here. Dear Baba and Mom Mom, I hope you have a good time in Pennsylvania, because he's in New York. I love Camp of the Woods, and I love you too. I love the beach, and I'm glad to be here. I love the animals, a lot of bears and all kinds of stuff up there. I'm learning about Jesus, and I like my CE, Christian education class. I like the arts and crafts also. Love, Maddie. This little postcard says a lot to LaWayne and I, and we read it over, just his love for us and things that he wants us to know. Well, 2 John and 3 John is like a postcard. Actually, 2 John is the shortest letter in the Bible, 13 verses. 3 John's right behind him, 14 verses. And it's like a postcard that John is sending out to his children, those who are believers, that he wants them to know things that are vital in the Christian walk. Now, as I did some study on this, John has sent out a lot of letters. But by the providence of God, these two letters, 2 John and 3 John, were put into the canon, which we believe God saw to it that this is inspired writing, although John wrote many other letters. So we want to come to this letter with the knowledge and the faith to believe this is God speaking to you and I on things we need to learn about love. Love that protects the believer and the things of God. So what I'm going to do here, and this is one way that we can study, I was taught years ago, there's a three-step process, one of the ways to study God's Word. You read and observe. Read and read and read and just make observations. Then you want to try to interpret what those observations are so they're accurate according to the attention that the Spirit of God wants us to know. When the Spirit of God wrote this through John or any of the other writers, he had one intention, and that's what we, you and I, are trying to learn and dig out and find. So we're going to talk about some of the process, and then after that, then we make an application. What was the purpose for the Holy Spirit to write this? What does he want to change in you and I? So we're going to start at verse 1. And Jeremy is going to follow me. We kind of tried to coordinate this. He's a good guy back there, and I think he'll have no problem. So here we go. The epistle to 2 John. The elder. Everybody have that in their Bibles? The elder. What a wonderful way for John to express this. You know, I'll give you a little history about John. James and John, sons of Zebedee, or a nickname was the sons of thunder. They were aggressive guys. Do you remember back the time when Jesus was living? Yo, Jesus, can we be on your right and left side when you get to heaven? You know, pretty proud guys. They wanted the top position. John became one of the apostles who led the early church and the book of Acts. Powerful thing. When we get to this position, John just sees himself as an elder, an overseer, a shepherd, a pastor, one who looks out for the souls of his followers and believers. Very important job. If you go to 1 Corinthians 4:15, you don't have to turn to this, but this is a wonderful verse here. It says this. This is Paul talking to Corinthians. He says, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you, my dear children, even though you have 10,000 guardians or instructors in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. John's kind of taken on this whole aspect. That's why all through the epistles that we've been studying, what was his expression? My little children, my children. John has just a wonderful picture of how he wants to care for these believers. And he sees himself as an elder, as a father. Verse 1, continuing there. The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. This chosen lady, all the commentaries that I looked at, they all said this could either be an actual person, a woman, and her children, or possibly a church and those who are in the church. Four of the commentaries absolutely said this is a woman. As I did my study, I believe it's a woman also, even as we end the passage and talks about her nieces and nephews, we'll get to. I believe John is writing to a specific woman who allows a church to be in her home, which was very common in that day. So here's a lady who is a believer, and he's writing this letter to a specific person. Actually, two of the commentaries called her Korea by name, which means lady. I'm not sure if I can go that far to give her the name Korea. But I believe this is a specific woman. Interesting that when Steve teaches next week, it's a specific guy that he teaches to. So John certainly has individuals in mind when he wants to write the things of God. And I think that's important too. He also talks about this truth that we have, and that others are also joyful in this. I love you guys in the truth. And not only I, but also all those who know the truth, other believers, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Truth and love are very powerful, and they go together. Ephesians talks about speaking the truth in love. So it's a wonderful expression for us to know. Let's move on here. Verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. Wonderful attributes of who God is, his grace, his mercy, and his peace. And John wants those attributes of God to be with us. What a wonderful comfort that is. Verse 4. It has been given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth. Now again, the NIV here kind of gives, you know, the idea with some of your children that possibly some of your children aren't. But this isn't the best translation. Actually, the King James captures it the best, where it says, thy children. And if you look it up in the Greek, it says thine all children. So I believe the passage here is saying, it has given me great joy to know your children are walking in truth, just as the Father commanded us. How powerful this morning to have this portion here today when we do a dedication of a child. Because God, through John, is telling us, as John looks into this woman's life and the church that's in her area, he points this out as something very important to him and therefore very important to God, that we raise our children in the way God wants us to go. From Deuteronomy 6 all through the scriptures. So we here at Hope don't take that lightly. It is a joy to see a couple stand up here and recognize their daughter is a gift from God. And they are responsible to teach. And we need to be praying for them and all of our kids. Parents, don't take this responsibility lightly. God doesn't. He's looking for it in our families. That parents, and this is the idea of the protecting love, teaches them truth. Truth will set them free. And today we are in a world being bombarded with lies. This book is truth. And we must recognize that only God can tell us what is truth. We have to be men and women and parents who teach our kids from an early age the things of God are right. And as it even says here, just as our Father commanded us, and now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have from the beginning. Boy, this is repetitive. This is all done through First John. And I ask, we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to the commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. 1 John 2 said, walk as Jesus. Same thing. Jesus is love. We learned that in chapter 5. God is love. Jesus is God. Jesus is love, and we're to walk like Jesus. We are not to take this lightly. I so appreciate our ministry, our children's ministry team here, that spend hours through the month in meetings and preparing curriculum so that when you bring your children here and you've taught them all week, they can go downstairs that they already have and reinforce that same truth that God is one who is love and must be obeyed and must follow, because if we do, he will protect us from many things out there. This is powerful. Continue to teach your children. It's a way to love them, and that love will protect them from what the lies are that's going on out there. Verses 7 and 8 say this: many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have come out in the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Let me just stop and share a couple observations and some truths here that's powerful to know. It's been something these last 6 months as I've been reading scriptures and things like that, and not even preparing yet to study for this passage, how I've been aware in scripture often, Jesus, the apostles, Paul, all the writings, they warn us constantly, be aware of false teachers. They are out there. This is from the beginning of the church. Jeremy, if you could put up Acts. This is Paul on his missionary journey. Listen to this verse. This is the church at Ephesians. that Paul stayed with about 3 years, and he's getting ready to leave. So he gathers all the elders of the church, and he says, listen, this is the one thing I do not want you to forget. Keep watch over yourselves and the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will rise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. This is something that the early church and the apostles were warning. This is something that we are warned today. There are deceivers, people who disguise themselves as preachers, as elders, as pastors, and do not preach the truth. First of all, that puts a lot of responsibility on us at Hope and Steve, who oversees the teaching team, that we study this book correctly and we teach it accurately. Very much warnings on that. And God, through John, is sharing that to this lady here in her church. She's hosting the church. She's not the pastor of the church. Here's what he says specifically. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. John gets specific on the wrong doctrine they're teaching. Back in the day, they were saying Jesus really wasn't human. He was an angel. He had other plans from heaven and all kinds of sorts of things, but he wasn't human. Interesting, today, that's kind of flipped, and we have some cults today that teach things differently. We have the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witness who teach that Jesus wasn't God. He certainly was human and man, but he wasn't God. The scriptures teach absolutely both are important and vital. Jesus was humanity and Jesus was deity. He was fully man and fully God. And this is a whole study in itself, and John was addressing that to be careful, and I'll give you a little background on that history, why he was saying that. But there's two things I want to share with you about God's humanity and his deity. First of all, God had to be human because what he was doing, what part of God's plan was that the first man, Adam, who was human, created by God, and was made in the image of God, failed to live up to God's standards. So then, God, who is deity, was made in the form of man, and the scripture says, to be the second Adam, in order that he would live up to God's standard. Perfect, without sin. That's powerful for us to recognize that that's what it had to be in order for his sacrifice to be legitimate. Second, and this is powerful for us to know on our journey, he was human fully because he can understand every weakness you and I have. The struggles you go through, absolutely Jesus knows them and has felt them. And we learned in chapter 2 of 1 John, he's our advocate. He comes before the Father testifying and being our defense and understands all the struggles that we go through. That is crucial in his humanity for us to understand. We are not alone in this. We have someone who was able to live this life perfectly and will help us now through the Holy Spirit to do that. We do not ever want to lower that standard and say that Jesus did not come in the flesh or was human. And then the aspect of his deity, if he wasn't God, he would not be able to forgive sin. The Bible teaches that only God can forgive sin. So this is a powerful doctrine that John is telling this woman, be careful. Do not allow this to happen. And what was happening, and it's similar to John 3 next week with Steve and Gaius, there was many people, and Paul and John were some of them, who traveled around to different regions, being apostles, being elders, being shepherds, teaching them God's word. and people would allow them with hospitality to stay at their home. That's what was happening with this woman. She would allow travelers to come into her home, and while they were there, to teach God's word. The only aspect that she, and this is something that we need to understand with the aspect of love and how it protects, she was being tolerant, you hear a lot of that word today, of someone who was teaching against God's word. And John is basically saying, do not allow that to happen. We have to hold God's word and the truth of that in high standard. Something for us to know as well. Also, and this is a little sideline, just as something for us to know, watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. John's given us a little interest here in helping us understand the importance of this. And you and I need to know this, and maybe you don't see life as this. You and I here, our sole purpose is to live for Christ and His kingdom. And we are here to further God's kingdom in everything we do. You may not see yourself as that, but if you call yourself a follower of Christ, a believer, that's our purpose. We are furthering the kingdom for the King. Therefore, we need to make sure that we hold what the King says at its highest priority and hold up truth. If we don't do that, we're going to lose our reward, because the Bible teaches everything we do for Christ, in Christ's name, will be recorded for us, so that when we get to heaven, God rewards us with crowns that we'll take and put at His feet for worshiping the goodness of our King. And John is telling us here, if we don't hold God's standards and His kingdom, those rewards will be lost. That's a powerful thing for us to really remember. We are here to further the kingdom, and we don't want to be distracted by anything else. Now, that happens to us, and we learn in 1 John that we can come and ask forgiveness for that. But how we want to see our lives is, I'm living for the kingdom. This world, 1 John 5, I don't want to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If the love of the world is in me, I don't love the Father. Wow, I don't want to go there. Then he goes on to say, in verse 9, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoa. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. This is powerful stuff that God's saying. We have got to be men and women, as Timothy says, who study God's word accurately, so that one day we'll be approved before Him. 2 Timothy 2:15. It is the purpose in which we need to know God's word. We here at Hope, and we encourage you all the time, be in God's word. Don't let the busyness and distractions of this world to keep you from being in God's word on a daily basis. This book, and we sang it today, is the light to our path. If we don't follow God's word, we will not be on the right path. It is that important, and God is telling us that. And God is saying some powerful things here. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son, because the Holy Spirit will do that. That's the purpose, one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, to teach us accurately God's word. And if we humbly fall before God and ask Him for grace to do that, I want to tell you, God will do that. That's His job. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome you. Let me say a couple things about this. First of all, and thinking about our 30-year history, three times in those 30 years, we had men who came here and taught, and we had to stand up and refute what they taught. I think that's pretty good in 3 years. Not a bad record. Because we take serious this passage. And God helped us to work that through. What we need to know, and again, here's a woman who brings in travelers, which is a wonderful, hospitable, godly thing to do. But she was allowing travelers who spoke against what the kingdom is about. And he's saying, don't do that. I was taught, okay, you don't let anyone in your house that doesn't believe what you want. And I'd have people come to my door when I was younger. I want to come in and tell you things about God. And I knew they weren't true. So I wouldn't let them in my house. Because the Bible says don't let them in your house. Again, we're not interpreting that right. Here was a woman who was allowing them in their house and to teach and preach and have the platform, something similar to what I'm doing up here. Certainly, we can let strangers and people who don't believe, like I don't believe, into my house. But I'm not going to participate or even allow them to have influence in my home or in my church. Does that make sense? So think that through. This is the setting here, that she's allowing people into her home and they're teaching things that are false. And John's saying, don't do that. Find out what they're about. And you can certainly give them an overnight stay, but don't let them be part of the church and teaching. Verse 11, anyone who welcomes him, now again, as someone who's going to come in and teach and be part of the ministry, shares in his wicked work. So we want to be careful who we allow into ministry here and the things that they teach. It's just something that God wants us to be very aware about, and John is writing about it. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy might be complete. Now, this is the postcard aspect. I've only jotted down some quick things for you to know, but I have so much more to write. I don't want to use, you know, more paper and ink. I want to see you face to face. That's a great way to express his love for them. It's great to get postcards, but it's nothing like seeing that person in person so that you can have real fellowship. And I believe that's John's point here. Actually, he even says the same thing in his short letter to 3 John with Gaius. I don't want to waste my pen and ink. I want to see you face to face. And it tells us a little bit about God's heart. Then he ends it this way. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. So apparently John's writing this with, I believe, this chosen lady's natural sister and her nieces and nephews, possibly, are saying, tell Aunt Kyria that we love her and we send our greetings. And that's how he ends. So with this short letter, application, what do we want to draw out of this little short postcard that John sent to this woman and is so appreciative of her children, but is warning her of things that are absolutely important that she understands? And I just want to end it this way. This is powerful for us to understand. If we want to have godly love in our lives, we need to understand this. Godly love definitely protects. It has boundaries. It understands what needs to be taught and what doesn't need to be taught. And here's one of the things I want you to remember if you want to write this down. We need to, and again, I told you, love and truth go right together, all right? If I'm to understand what true love is, it's surrounded in truth. So what I need to do is to teach truth correctly and to live truth consistently. That's what love is. And there's a balance to do that. In 2 John here was a woman who didn't have the boundaries she should have had. When we get to 3 John, it's the opposite. There's a guy in there that has boundaries so tight that he welcomes no one, even John himself. The love that God wants us to have has deep understanding and wisdom of where the guardrails in life are. And we got to make sure we don't go over one side or over the other. We want to be a people that embrace others for the kingdom of God and love them, but we hold what the King wants us to hold in a firm hand and a grip and know that. So, the message of John, understand truth and hold it high, because there's going to be people out there that will try to pervert that or change that. And we need to be people who are not moved from the Word of God. Let's pray. Father God, how again I thank you for your Word. It gives us direction. Some of it's hard, but Lord, it's so specific. You teach us how to live. And we confess, when we read this stuff, we cannot live up to it apart from you. You're the vine and we're the branches, and we need to be connected. We need the life of our Savior to flow in through us to the very soul, so that we can live this life that you called us to live in a way that honors you. We thank you that you're teaching us truth, and truth about love. And truth protects, Lord. And Father, we need this in the day when we think about what's being bombarded with our children. The stuff that's out there, it's horrendous. And we ask for your help, that we would have wisdom to protect them and guard them against that, and to teach them what is true, so that when they become old enough to go on their own, they will stand tall. They will not be persuaded by the lies that are out there, Lord. We ask for your help. Help us to be men and women here who know the truth and the truth about love, and allow you to produce that in us. For Jesus' sake, we pray.